From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 16th day of June, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And Mike Barwinski, a senior trader with Louis Dreyfus Commodities, will join us to take up the agricultural energy markets in just 26 minutes. Meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. And along the way, we'll hear from state statisticians about crop progress and updates in their respective areas. It all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of public radio from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby July wheat at 9.5 cents lower, 565 3/4 the settlement price. September at 594 1/4 for the soft red, down 9 1/4. And December wheat at $6.21, down 9 1/4. July Kansas City wheat at $6.23, 8 3/4 lower. July corn futures down 2 at $4.04. September at $4.12 3/4, down 2 cents. December at $4.25 1/4, 2.5 lower. And the March contract at $4.37, down 2 3/4. And the May corn futures at $4.45, settled 3 cents lower on the afternoon. July soybeans for the day, $12.25, 4 1/4 higher. August at $11.28.5, up 1. September at $10.63, up 3 1/4. And November beans at $10.28.5, up 3 3/4 for the day. January futures, $10.36 1/4, 4.5 higher. And the March at $10.34.5, up 5 1/4. July bean meal at $4.04.30, down a buck. The August unchanged at $3.71.80. July bean oil, $36.96, up 34. August oil, $33 higher at $37.10. June live cattle futures, $79.60, 30 cents higher. August up 45, rather 30 cents lower. August down 45 at $80.37.5. And the August feeders at $96.55, finished 65 cents lower. September futures down 32.5 cents at $97.07. July lean hogs at 58.27.5, 12.5 lower. The August down 30 at 58.10. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading the July contract at $70.47, down 15 cents for the day. August at $71.16, down 15 as well. July ethanol, $1.73.09, up 1 2/10. August down 8 cents at $1.72. July natural gas, $4.105, down 7 7/10. And the August at $4.28 4/10, down 9 8/10. RBOB gasoline at $2.07 4/10, up 2 1/10. July heating oil, a penny and a tenth higher at $1.82 7/10, and the propane at 87.5 cents, down a penny and 0.3 cents. Gold futures at $931.60, up 4.70, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 85.36 is now 75 points lower. The U.S. dollar at 80.72, down 42, and the CRB index at 255.74, down 0.63 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like today. Cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight. Lows will range from 60 in the north to 72 in the far south, says Mr. Mike Solom. Tomorrow in the north, he says, mostly cloudy skies, some scattered showers likely, and a slight chance of a thunderstorm or two. Elsewhere, partly sunny, isolated thunderstorms during the afternoon. High, says Mr. Sola, from 78 in northern Indiana to 92 in the far southern part of Illinois, although he says it will remain in the low 70s near Lake Michigan. The extended forecast has a brief surge in temps during the second half of the work week, followed by seasonably mild conditions. Will provide aggressive growing conditions throughout Illinois and Indiana for the next week to 10 days. The weather pattern expected to turn less active after this week. Totally dry weather, though, is not anticipated, but the rain will become more scattered in nature. More on the ag weather when we talk to Don Day at the bottom of the hour. Yeah.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information on WILL is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. We always talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
It was a very, very ugly day in Chicago yesterday, and I saw some reports that the soybean pit might be just as ugly today for a while, unless it managed to hang on at the very end of the trading session, and it sure looks like it did.
Well, you know, we did close higher on the day, not anywhere near where we opened up this morning, and not near as good as we had in the overnight. We sort of felt like maybe we'd see a little better action after we saw the overnight trade, but of course it just didn't want to hold good. There seemed to be selling activity by the funds, and of course, we sort of run out of buyers at this point in time after the way the day acted yesterday to pop back in there in a hurry. But, you know, we look into how things are, and we're a little better off than we were a year ago as far as the ratings went, and we turned out with a fairly decent crop by the time the year was over, and I think that's what a lot of the people are looking at right now, Todd.
You say we ran out of buyers after yesterday's big moves and all the action that took place. Once the dust had settled, who were the buyers, who were the sellers? I assume the funds were the sellers.
The funds were the sellers, and of course, a lot of the smaller traders and whatever, of course, had been on the long side, and they either were knocked out with some pretty painful losses or some pretty painful margin calls come this morning. So, you know, it tends to put you on the sideline after painful experiences.
Off to the sideline, were volumes down today then?
Volume was light today, Todd. There was not a very big volume at all going into things that way today, and it stayed light that way. So, you know, another thing is, you know, we did look, though, the soybean plantings, only 73% of the Illinois acres originally intended for soybeans have been planted. The ratings were good on them and what was up, but, you know, we are still behind on getting some of those beans in the ground.
We're behind on getting those beans in the ground, and I suppose that at some point the marketplace will have to take that into account, or have they already?
Well, I think that, you know, we've looked at that to some degree, but not to the degree we might if we continue to possibly have some wet weather in some of those areas, and just really puts us on past to this time next week.
Can you go back to yesterday just a bit for me again? The funds were sellers. Were there really important reasons that they did that? Was it all just the outside market, all the dollar? Were there other things that might have been afoot?
Yeah, of course, the main reasons, of course, was the way that the dollar did react, the way the crude oil has acted, the way it went about things, the way the Dow Jones did. You know, and today we were a little bit disappointed with the housing increase in housing starts, not big numbers especially, but, you know, an improvement in showing some new housing starts, and still the Dow down 95 ticks while we're talking, while it's trading here. But along the way, I think the weather forecast, you know, we're somewhat in a benign weather forecast with as much of the ground being planted as it is or past the point of planting corn, but still getting 97% of the corn in, corn looking good. You know, we were in Texas over the weekend, come back late last night. The corn has really surged in the meantime while we were gone around here. It's just looking a lot greener, a lot nicer, and a lot better feeling by the farmers out here. And, you know, maybe a little more active selling where we were seeing selling only in the western corn belt where their crop was looking good, and the eastern corn belt was not selling corn because theirs was looking not so happy. And I think that ours is beginning to look a lot better over in this area.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
That's about it today, Todd.
All right. Thank you much.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon. This is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program, and of Commodity Week, both of which you can hear on our website anytime you'd like it, willag.org. That's W-I-L-L, ag.org. There you can download this program, other agricultural programming, listen to it on your computer, or have it downloaded automatically to your computer as a podcast. There's even a brand new weather segment there that you can have downloaded as a podcast, too. It's all at willag.org. Don't forget to sign up for our weekend newsletter over on the right-hand side of the page. And if you don't like it, don't worry about it. It's free, and you can unsubscribe just as easily on the right-hand side of the page. It's all at willag.org. Now, up next, we'll take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural production with the state statisticians.
This is Greg Tayson, director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crop and weather report for the week ending June 14, 2009. Iowa again received widespread rainfall along with cool temperatures last week. While northwest producers welcomed the rain, the southeast was again under flood watch as rain continued to saturate the region. Severe thunderstorms in the southeast district damaged some corn and soybean fields, although the crops throughout most of the state made good progress. There were 3.3 days suitable for field work during the week compared to the five-year average of 4 days. Weather permitting, farmers applied insect and weed control to corn and soybean fields. With the additional rainfall during the week, topsoil moisture rated 98% adequate to surplus statewide, and subsoil moisture rated 97% adequate to surplus. 99% of the corn acres have emerged on par with the five-year average. The corn stand was rated 95% of normal, with an overall average height of 13 inches. The corn condition rating was 78%, good to excellent. Soybean planting advanced 2 percentage points from last week to 97% complete, ahead of last year, but on par with the five-year average. Southern districts continue to lag behind the state average planting pace as the additional rainfall during the week kept planters out of the field. 92% of the state's soybean crop has emerged, well ahead of last year and 1 percentage point ahead of normal. Soybean condition was rated 75%, good to excellent. This is Greg Tayson reporting from USDA NASS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending June 14th. More cool, wet conditions were received across Illinois this past week. Most of the precipitation was received early in the week, which allowed producers the opportunity to start wrapping up corn planting, with soybeans not that far behind. There were reports of some cornfields with uneven stands and turning yellow due to the excessive rainfall. The week ended with 3.1 days being reported suitable for field work. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies were rated 1% short, 59% adequate, and 40% surplus. The wettest topsoil ratings were reported in the two southern crop reporting districts, with an average rating of 88% in the surplus category. Growing degree days since May 1 are now at 650, trailing the average by 32. Corn planting is now winding down at 96% complete, the same as last year, but behind the 99% five-year average. 89% of the corn crop was reported emerged, compared with 93% 1 year ago and 98% for the five-year average. And the average height of all corn emerged was 10 inches, 1 inch shorter than last year and 15 inches short of the 25-inch five-year average. Leading the state in corn height was the Central Crop Reporting District at 15 inches. Soybean planting advanced to 73% complete. This compares to 72% 1 year ago and 92% for the five-year average. 49% of the crop was reported emerged, trailing last year's 56% and the 86% five-year average. Leading the state in soybean emergence was the Eastern Crop Reporting District at 75%. The soft red winter wheat crop was reported with 93% of the heads filled. 14% of the crop was reported ripe, compared to 3% 1 year ago and 36% normally. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending June 14, 2009. Cool, wet conditions across most of the state kept producers out of the field and slowed crop development. Temperatures averaged 9 degrees below normal with widespread precipitation. Corn conditions rated 82% good or excellent. Soybeans are virtually emerged, a week ahead of the average, and conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Sorghum planting is almost complete and three quarters has emerged. Conditions are mostly good or excellent. Over half of the oats have headed. Wheat conditions are mostly good or excellent and remain well above last year. Nearly all of the wheat has headed. Harvest in the southeast is likely to begin around the end of June and by mid-July in the panhandle. Alfalfa first cutting is over halfway complete and conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Pasture and range conditions were mostly good or excellent and above year-ago levels. This is Becky Summer of the USDA's NASS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 14, 2009. Crop conditions held steady following last weekend's rains. The percentage of small grains and row crops rated good to excellent was generally unchanged compared to last week, despite rain falling across much of the state. Crop growth and development was slowed by cool, damp start to the week. However, the more seasonal weather returned by week's end. Producers generally reported a need for warmer weather. The number of growing degree days since May 4th was below normal for all reporting stations. There were 4.4 days suitable for fieldwork during the week. Topsoil moisture supplies improved, with 8% of the topsoil rated very short, down from 20% last week. 60% of the topsoil was rated adequate for moisture statewide. Corn was 99% emerged, with an average height of 9 inches. Soybeans were 90% emerged, with an average height of 3 inches. Corn condition was rated 76% good to excellent, compared to 75% last week, while soybeans were rated 69% good to excellent versus 70% a week ago. 19% of the spring wheat and 14% of the barley was jointing. 41% of the oats was jointing, with 3% headed. Alfalfa harvested advanced to 70% complete under warmer, drier weather at week's end. Pasture and range conditions was rated 4% very poor, 14% poor, 39% fair, 40% good, and 3% excellent. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending June 14th, 2009. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office.
This is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NASS Field Office for Indiana. And this is the crop weather report for the week ending June 14th. Farmers made good progress until midweek when heavy rain showers arrived, leaving many fields with standing water, putting farmers behind on the final push to complete the corn planting. Producers in central and southern Indiana have begun to take preventive planting on some corn acreage or switching to soybeans. The excessive moisture lowered the wheat condition due to reports of some disease problems. Precipitation ranged from 0.57 to 3.93 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 90 degrees to a low of 53. For the week, 3.2 days were rated as suitable for field work. 97% of the intended corn acreage has been planted, tied with last year's 97% planted at this time, and behind the five-year average of 99%. By area of the state, 99% has been planted in the north, 98% in the central region, and 90% in southern Indiana. 88% of the planted corn acreage has emerged, compared with 92% for last year and 97% for the five-year average. Planting of soybeans for the week remained behind the average pace, with 84% of the intended soybean acreage planted, compared to 79% for last year and 93% for the five-year average. By area of the state, 92% of the soybeans have been planted in the north, 90% in the central region, and 60% in southern Indiana. 66% of the planted soybean acreage has emerged, compared with 67% for last year and 85% for the five-year average. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NASS Field Office.
Our thanks for all the work that the statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota do to help us bring you an update from their regions each and every week after USDA brings out its crop progress and weather reports. Those are released at 3 o'clock Central Time on Monday afternoons. We bring you updates each and every Tuesday.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. On the line with us to take a look at the agricultural energy markets is Mike Barwinski. He's a senior trader at Louis Dreyfus, located at the Kansas City Board of Trade building in Kansas City, Missouri. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd. How are you?
I am very, very well. The ethanol industry, is it feeling better with $4 corn and $70 crude oil?
It is. It has definitely improved since we last talked last month. The rally in crude in RBOB has definitely been the largest boost. Corn staying down in the $4 range has helped quite a bit, too. So, you know, you're seeing definitely a turnaround for ethanol plants here in the interior for margins in June, July, and August time period.
When we talked last month, let's see, we've rallied, what, nearly $23, I think. Is that right? $13, I'm sorry, since we talked last month. From the bottom, it has been a quick, relatively speaking, climb up from February at the bottoms here where we were down in the 40s and now up in the 70s. Is there more left, and do you like the U-bottom shape that's in the charts for this?
Yeah, I think, the job of the market, in, at least in the ethanol side of things, is just to keep any further expansion going out in the Q3, Q4 time period and into 2010. So, you know, while your margins at the plant will improve, while your crude oil values and RBOB values will improve, it's going to be limited to an extent because you don't want it to build up too long, and then you're going to be shutting down much more production, even more so than when you did the first go around in the past 6 months that you've seen.
Well, so as you're taking care of the ethanol plant, are you just on one, or you've got two ethanol plants?
That we have two ethanol plants now.
As you're taking care of them, what are you looking at in the way you go about purchasing for them? I know it's generally hand to mouth type of purchasing for those plants. Are you still doing that, or are you looking further out?
We're always looking further out, but I'd say in the last 3 months, at least going hand to mouth and only dealing in the spot months has been the absolute best option for any ethanol plant. Unfortunately, very few plants are able to do that simply because of liquidity issues. But I know everyone is always looking out 2-3 months ahead of time and hoping that they could sell as good margins in the spot as they can forward. Just not quite there today. Again, that has to do with just the market not wanting to increase any build out going forward.
What's the feeling amongst the folks at Louis Dreyfus about biofuels and the future in the next 5 years?
I think you definitely still have a strong support coming out of Washington. You know, you have your RFS2, which is on the table right now, and granted, you do have some provisions built there. Namely the indirect land use change that has a negative effect on corn-based ethanol. But, you know, as President Obama said, and, you know, we've heard people watching this day, they still know that at least in the near term, the next 5 to 10 years, corn-based ethanol is going to be needed to meet, our mandates, our biofuel mandates.
Can you see a time when the corn-based ethanol be switched out for other types of ethanol?
Yeah, but, I mean, that's a long way away. I would say you definitely have to have a lot of technology improvements, both in production and in, you know, as far as your feed source goes.
You know, the five-year horizon has come and gone on that one at least once and maybe again, you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't see the next 5 years wiping out much, if any, of corn-based ethanol production.
All right. Thank you much.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Mike Barwinski is with Louis Dreyfus, where he serves as a senior trade analyst for the biofuels industry. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Back with Don Day to take a look at the agricultural weather in just 2 minutes.
It's National Fudge Day. Many people think fudge is an American invention. It's believed that the first batch was a batch of caramels that went wrong, thus the name fudge. The first known sale of fudge was in 1886 in Baltimore. The cost was 40 cents a pound. On this day in agricultural history in 1794, the first stone was laid for the world's largest grain windmill in Holland. known as the whale, it is still in existence today. In 1855, John Gorey died. Gorey received the first U.S. patent for mechanical refrigeration in 1851. In 1893, Cracker Jack was introduced at the Columbian Exposition in Chicago. By the way, the secret formula which prevents the molasses-coated popcorn from sticking together came 3 years later, in 1896. A prize in every box was introduced in 1912, and Sailor Jack and Bingo made their first appearance on the box in 1918. In 1903, a one-year-old company registered its trade name Pepsi-Cola. The original name was Brad's Drink, after Caleb Bradham, the pharmacist who developed the formula. Among the ingredients, carbonated water, sugar, vanilla, oils, pepsin, and cola nut extract. And in 1980, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that patents could be issued for genetically engineered organisms. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Asgro's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us on this Tuesday afternoon is Don Day of Date Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the weather in the Midwest. Looks rainy, rainy, and then possibly rainy again.
Yeah. Now, there is a little bit of good news in the rainy forecast. You stated it right there, Todd. The rain showers, the thunderstorms, all of that activity is going to continue. But we actually do see it getting a little bit warmer, at least. We've got some heat building in the southern plains, Texas, Oklahoma, down around Louisiana, Arkansas. A dome of hot high pressure that is going to at least help give us a little bit of heat, which will help with evaporation. Of course, it may make it unbearably muggy at times. Now, eventually, maybe in about 7 days, maybe about 9 days from now, some of that hotter air will help stymie a little bit some of the thunderstorm activity. And as we get right around the end of this month into early July, it looks like a drier pattern will develop. But for the rest of this week, into this weekend and early next week, rain chances are going to remain high. Some areas of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, southern sections of Iowa, eastern Missouri, looking at anywhere from 2 to 4 inches of rain.
Well, I suppose producers wouldn't generally gripe about rainfall, but they do have quite a bit of work yet to do in the field, probably a lot of side dressing trying to be done with a little anhydrous ammonia or some kind of nitrogen application. They won't be able to do that anytime soon. And then you start looking out further and you tell me it's going to be dry enough to get back into the fields, do you think?
I think there's going to be some help. It may not be until the last few days of June into the early July, but we do see a period of time towards the start of July where it does look a little bit drier, at least for a while.
Speaking of field work, harvest has begun in the Great Plains states on the hard red winter wheat crop. Will they be able to move?
Well, I think they will be. They've been fighting some big thunderstorm activity. It is quite wet in some areas of Kansas, far west northwest Kansas, eastern Colorado, and southwest Nebraska that may slow things down a little bit. But overall, I think most of those areas will be able to continue. They'll have to dodge some thunderstorms, but should get some progress made.
Other areas around the nation or the planet that you're keeping a close eye on?
Well, I tell you, over in China, East Asia has been very stormy and wet, and that pattern is going to continue over there as well.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
I think that'll do her.
Thanks much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Tuesday afternoon. Remember, you can always hear what Don had to say again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.